I want you to keep your singing voices out. We're going to be doing a sermon and song this morning as we praise our God and give glory to Him. As we think about this time, it's a time of giving and receiving gifts this year. And I want you to just think for just a moment of all the gifts that you have received, what is the one that stands out the most to you? Was it something you've always wanted but would never get for yourself? Was it something that someone spent a great deal of time on, working on it for you? Something that you never unwrapped, but it was an action that someone did that you will remember for the rest of your life. Of all the things that we have been given, both from man and from God, I believe the greatest gift that we ever have is the gift of forgiveness. All this month, we've been talking about the idea of forgiveness. And God's entire purpose has been to bring this gift to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. So for a few moments this morning, I want us to think about the idea of forgiveness as a gift that has been given to us. As we think about the idea of unwrapping that gift and examining that gift, we ask the question, who receives this gift? We might say, whose name is on the gift tag? We typically would think as we give someone a gift, they're worthy of that gift. They deserve this gift. And yet, sinners who receive this gift. God gives this gift to all people because we need it. We need it because we are sinners. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. From the beginning, we made a choice to go against God, to go against His nature, to live the way that we want to live rather than the way that He desires. We've chosen to lie, to envy others, to not love our neighbor, to put self in the place of worship rather than God. And what that does is that makes us an enemy of God. That by our choices, we are at odds with God. That our choice has made us, He is light, we are darkness. Our choices, our sins have severed us from a relationship with God. In Isaiah 59 and verse 2, it says, but your iniquities make a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. It's our problem that we have created by our choices so that we are without our Creator. And if left to ourselves, we are without hope. We're doomed to face the penalty of our choices. And that is the very wrath of God. And yet, the ones who receive this gift are those whom the Lord loves. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We don't deserve this gift. That God loves us that much. He shows us how much He loves us in that He gave us His Son. I want you to think about that for a moment. God gave this gift. We saw in the scripture reading, John 3:16, for God loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God sent His Son to the world. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Think about that for a moment. The Word became flesh. Emmanuel. The meaning is God with us. Think about the very cost of that action. Think about the very cost of this gift. Chapter 8 and verse 9, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, rich, yet for your sake became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." Jesus gave it all up. It tells us that he emptied himself, becoming a bondservant in the form of humankind, in the likeness of man. He gave up. The question is, what did he give up? It's one person that he gave up glory and the worship to come in the company of killers. He gave the right to act like God. Think about it for a moment. He could, as God, as the Word, he could have anything he wanted at any time. And yet when he came to this world, he had no privileges. He had privileges. He lived as a servant. He became a friend of sinners and a brother of the poor. He touched our sores and felt our tears and experienced our pain. He gave up the right to look like God. In eternity, the Word was clothed with splendor. Splendor that we can't even imagine. And he gave that up. And he took on human flesh in the form of a Jewish male. He gave up the right to be treated like God. Instead of honor and worship that is due to him, rightfully so, he came to this world and the world treated him as a criminal. No worship, no honor. Jesus came into the muck of this world without any fanfare, without any grand announcement. If we were writing the story, we'd have the great fanfare. We'd have the trumpets blaring because God has come into this world. And yet our Savior entered the world in a place where the stench of urine, dung, and sheep reeked in the air. He exchanged the praise of myriads of angels for a group of simple shepherds. He left glory of heaven to lay in a feeding trough straw. And he gave up being at the Father's side to be held by a teenage girl. She looks at him, her son, her Lord, his majesty. From the perspective of heaven, it is God leaving glory to live in the mundane. But from our perspective, it is the greatest gift that has been given. Let us sing together, Emmanuel, God with us.
Our Father, our Son, our Spirit,
God sent his son. And for man, that might have been enough. That God has come to this world to live like us. But for the Father, that wasn't enough. There was a greater cost to this gift that man and his sons, and a payment had to be paid. God gave his son to die for us. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, there as it's describing all of the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus, the spiritual blessings, it says in verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Says we have forgiveness through his blood. The book of Hebrews tells us that forgiveness can only come by the shedding of blood. God loved us so much that he didn't want us to have to pay the penalty for our sins. But God is just, and he won't go against his nature. And so the payment had to be paid. So Jesus sacrificed himself for our sins. Here is the true cost of forgiveness. That God died in our place. He endured the very worst of man. And we've talked about that in weeks past. Of what he went through. The physical pain, the mockings, the scourgings, all that man, the very worst of man, could throw at him. But that wasn't all of it. He endured the Father's wrath. He endured the Father's, we could say, the very worst of the Father. And that doesn't mean to describe the Father in a negative way. It's all of his righteous indignation for our sins. Jesus bore that wrath. You see, Father separated himself because he says, I can have nothing to do with sin. Sin was what Jesus bore. He bore all sins that had ever been committed. He bore the sins that we've committed just in this day. And he bore the sins that will be committed in the future. All of that he took on himself. And here is the great thing for us, that God willingly died in our place, that he sacrificed himself that we might be ransomed from our sins. I don't know of a way to give praise to God for that than to sing How Deep a Father's Love.
Thank you.
to think. He took my wounds. The wounds that were deserved for me. And He took them upon Himself. What does it mean to experience this gift? What does it mean to be forgiven? It means that there is no condemnation. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It means that we're no longer guilty of the sins that we have committed. That in legal terms, it has been released. We have been released from our penalty. Because there has been a complete dismissal of the charges against us. It means we don't have to pay for the things we've done in the past. It means that we don't have to pay for the things that we have committed even today or tomorrow. It means that very worst thing that we have done, that which no one else knows, but only God. God doesn't hold it against us. Reason being is that our sins have been removed. The psalmist says it beautifully in Psalm 103 and verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. We may doubt, have I really been forgiven? God says, let me show you. How far is the east from the west? It's infinitely separated. And that's what He says to us. Your sins have been separated. They have been removed. They've been wiped out. On the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. And part of the meaning of that is that it has been paid in full. Jesus took the punishment that we deserve so that God can forgive us. And we're no longer under that. Sins have been wiped away. And that brings a removal. That brings us to a new standing with God. And that we are right with Him. That we are justified with God. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When God now looks at us, He doesn't see all the terrible things we've done. He doesn't see all the hurt that we have caused Him. He says, all of that has been wiped away because I see you through the lens of what Jesus Christ has done. That we are forgiven. We are justified. We are made right with God. And our right standing allows us to have a relationship with God. Not just any relationship, but the relationship that God has always desired to have with His creation. From the beginning of time, when He created man, He wanted to have this relationship. That we are children of God. It says in Romans 8 and verse 15, spirit of slavery, here again. But you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Such words. I say, okay, well, yeah, I can call my earthly father, the one who is human like me. Yes, I can call Him Father. But God, our Creator, the one who is above all, says, I want you to call me Father. that as children, as His sons, we have all the rights and privileges of a parent-child relationship. We might say, well, wait a minute, I've done too many things. And we act like the prodigal son. Say that I'm not worthy to be your son again. Just let me be a servant. But God says, no. You are my child. Romans 8 goes on to tell us that the rights that we have because we are children, that we are fellow heirs with Christ. What He receives as the Son of God, we receive with Him. And all of this is possible because Jesus came and died for our sins. Just think about that gift. That is what it's all about. He died. And He was buried. And He rose the third day. God raised Him from the dead. That's God's approval, saying, what you have done, my son, I approve of, I am thankful for, and I am raising you from that death. So that He can reign as King. So that He can reign as our King for all eternity. I want to ask you, if you have not experienced that gift, God invites you to receive that gift. That's the gospel message. Christ came to this world to live like you and me. But that's not enough for God. He says, I want to die for you. And I will be raised to give you hope. To give you beyond this life hope of something much greater. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? That should be an affirmation for all of us to reaffirm, do we believe He is the Son? Have we repented of our sins and confessed our allegiance to Him? Because that gift is offered to him who would be baptized into Jesus' death so that we can receive forgiveness of sin. If that is our gift that we have, let us continue to experience that gift. And if it's not the gift that you have right now, we're going to sing together to see our God reigning as King. And the opportunity will be given to you to come and receive that gift. Let us all stand. As together we sing, Behold our God.